you ever think that the latter half of your life would require this much ibuprofen? The Kate Daly Show starts now.
My, oh my, what a wonder.
Everybody knows Zippity-Doo-Dah, the Disney classic, but it's kind of hard to place which movie it comes from.
Zippity-Doo-Dah, zippity-ay.
That's all right. Happy cherry blossoms to you,
please. Early Disney films are known for being racially problematic. From particularly offensive depictions of Japanese soldiers in early World War II propaganda...
No, wait, please. Japanese customs say, always shooting a man in the back, please. Oh, thank you.
To Fantasia, where the dark-skinned centaur named Sunflower plays servant to the light-skinned centaurs and has since been cut from the updated version of the film. To the blatantly racist Native American tribe in Peter Pan. But the worst one of all has been locked in the Disney vault for 30 years. The Song of the South takes place on a plantation in Georgia in the 1800s, where African Americans and Caucasians live in blissful harmony. There seem to be no problems at all on Grandma's plantation, and that's exactly where the problem is. Like the song Zippity-Doo-Dah, the Song of the South is utterly uncomplicated, and it strips away any sense of politics, history, or ideology that would be present at the time. It's never quite mentioned in what time period this movie is set, but it really looks like a plantation full of happy-go-lucky slaves who are more than pleased to do the bidding of their masters.
Or do they teach you to talk like this in some Panama City sailor bar, or is this getaway day and your last shot at his whiskey? Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Oh, I love Disney. I do. I grew up there, pretty much. I mean, honestly, I lived 40 minutes away, and my uncle helped draw the scenery of Snow White. The forest, and let me tell you something. Every event we ever had was at Disneyland. But I just wanted you to know, Uncle Milty, that Disneyland is saving us from our racial hatred, our utter disdain for black people. They have decided to change Splash Mountain. You know that ride that you go on where you get splashed and it's kind of an exhilarating ride and you kind of pretty much fall off a cliff and. Well, that...
They're going to stop it from splashing.
Yes. It's going to be a slow, excruciating ride through political hell. It is a ride that lasts 60 seconds, but the indoctrination will last a lifetime. It's a ride that will speak to your soul, erase your racism, and political message you to the very 10th degree. This ride will now be responsible for ushering in a whole new America. It won't be Splash Mountain. What should we call it? I don't even know.
I have no idea.
Race Mountain? I'm not sure. I'm not sure what they're going to call it, but they're changing it. Did you know that, I didn't know this because I've been going on this ride since 1989, but I never really picked up on the fact that it was about the Song of the South. Did you?
Oh, Song of the South was one of my favorite movies as a kid.
Yeah.
I loved Tar Baby. Tar Baby was a great, great character. And the Zippity Doo-Dah song was fantastic. We sang that in school. At the time, we really had no idea that we hated all those black kids that were in class with us.
Whenever you were singing Zippity Doo-Dah, it was like, I hate you.
Yeah,
and
we never knew it.
Well,
and neither did the black kids. That's the amazing.
Because they were singing it too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. So were the Indian kids, the Hispanic kids,
everybody
the Chinese
in class.
Kids. Oh, okay.
I went to school, elementary school in upstate New York. We didn't have a lot of Hispanics.
Yeah. But Tar Baby was your favorite character.
Tar Baby was great.
So Disney has revamped. They're revamping. It's official. It's official. They want you to know they're purging us of our hate. And so when you ride a ride where basically you're just getting doused with water, you're also getting doused with your newfound wokeness for Black people. And so your white guilt will be purged by the time you go over the cliff into the raging water below. It'll be like a baptism of sorts. You just won't feel as that dirty old white American anymore. You're going to feel as you come up out of the water, clothes drenched, eyes opened, wokeness alerted. You're going to feel like a new American in this very establishment controlled new world where Black Lives Matters welcomes you at Disneyland and basically gives you a big old badge saying, you know, white people suck. And I agree. And then you're given a mask, and then the mask is like, you know, the body covering to show that you're just super on board. Eyes opened, but, you know, that's where you're at. That's where you're at. So I thank you, Disney, for changing me. The baptism of Splash Mountain, Race Mountain, sorry, whatever it's going to be called. I salute you.
The real problem isn't Splash Mountain. It's Disney. Period. You know, Song of the South, actually, I'll tell you how popular Tar Baby was.
Please.
There was a book. Mm-hmm. All these are Walt Disney books, by the way. Mm-hmm. There was Walt Disney's book, Br'er Rabbit and the Tar Baby.
Right.
There was Uncle Remus and the Tar Baby. There was just the Tar Baby.
Do you want me to play it? I'll play it. Let me play it.
Tar Baby. Did he sing out?
How do you do?
Brer Rabbit wait for the Tar Baby to say, "Fine, how are you?" But the Tar Baby, he don't say nothing. And Brer Fox, he lay low. So, Brer Rabbit try it again.
I can see the utter hatred. I can see it. It's rampant.
How do you do?
Howdy do? Yeah.
But the Tar Baby ain't saying nothing. Then Brer Rabbit scratch one ear with his off behind foot and low, he gonna find out why he can't get no answer. Then he says he,
"What's the matter with you? I said howdy. Is you hard of hearing? I said howdy."
But the Tar Baby, he don't say nothing.
Oh, my. I'm totally offended right now. And I realize my white guilt is overflowing. I just didn't even know I hated people.
That movie was made a long, long time ago.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you something. The narrator that was just narrating he could be living today. There are still Black people that talk with that same flow and wording and pronunciation of words today. Uh-huh. No different.
Right.
So I guess
I didn't know.
The only thing I didn't like was the Tar Baby toilet soap.
Well, that would be problematic.
Offensive. Yeah, that
would
be problematic.
Offensive. Yeah. Well, gosh, I just didn't know that. These little kid movies were full of such horrifying messages of their time. I didn't know. My gosh. You know, I'm just not woke. And I just have to realize that I'm not woke. And I got a lot of woken to do, apparently. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead. Caller.
Yes, hi.
Yes, hi. You're live. Go right ahead.
Yes. My name is Sylvie Andrew, and I am running for Utah State Senate.
Awesome.
Against 20-year incumbent Kurt Bramble.
Wow. Kurt Bramble, not one of my favorites. I think because of his record. What he says is pretty much irrelevant at this point. His record is pretty horrifying. So what do you plan to do different? What can you do different?
Okay, first of all, I'm more of a Liberty Republican.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know of this latest bill that he sponsored, the SB 5011.
Okay.
That requires everyone in a care facility to submit to COVID-19 testing.
Oh, my gosh. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, that just barely went through the special session in June.
Boy.
So, what it does is it requires everyone in a care facility to submit to COVID-19 testing, but he says there's an he leaves it an option that they can opt out. Mm-hmm. But if they're showing any kind of symptoms,
right,
that they are required to take the COVID.
And the symptoms are so generic, they can be other illnesses that they have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could have, maybe you're starting to get a cold,
right,
or a pneumonia, mm-hmm, or you have a fever from something else.
Sure.
I mean,
because this isn't like purple spots appearing. This is just like the basics of any virus that's prevalent. Any virus or flu, right? So,
yes.
Yeah, so he'd like to endanger
freedom. And then they could possibly be mm-hmm thrown out of the care facility.
Uh-huh.
We're talking elderly that are already feeling the effect of being isolated from their families, feeling lonely. Yeah, and some of those, mm-hmm, you know, I read an article that says feelings of loneliness and isolation can lead to serious health consequences.
Oh, absolutely.
And loneliness in seniors may be fatal.
Absolutely.
A 2012 study, mm-hmm, that tracked over 6,500 elderly men and women over a seven-year period in the United Kingdom reported that the lack of social contact leads to an early death.
Right.
Regardless of participants' underlying health issues.
Well, let's say this. So, let's say this. You're running against Kurt Bramble. I'm really happy that somebody that does their homework is running against him, that somebody that stands for principles is running against him. How do they find you? Where do they reach you? We have about a minute left. Where do they find you?
Okay. They can find me at sylviaforsenate.com.
Okay.
That's S-Y-L-V-I-A, for Senate.com.
Okay.
And my phone number's there.
Okay.
My email's there. I'm also concerned about treating people that are addicted.
Uh-huh.
The services are very lacking in those areas.
Yes.
And mm-hmm mental health services in our communities are so needed and just mm-hmm not.
I'm just hoping
there hasn't been much attention paid to that
area
either.
I'm hoping that government doesn't go full throttle on that and that people just have the ability to choose for themselves what works for them. I'm hoping.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm hoping.
Yes. I'm more of a mm-hmm a natural kind of person. I've had experience with those things
mm-hmm
and the natural things work for me a lot better than
excellent
any, you know, the drugs.
Sylvia, I hope people check you out. Sylviaforsenate.com. Sylviaforsenate.com. Go there, check her out. If you are in that district, Kurt Bramble's district, I know you're fed up with him. I get a lot of messages about him. Let's do something different. Get the incumbents out. Thank you, Sylvia. Really appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks for running. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. We'll take your calls.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine heading my way. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It's the truth. It's actual. Everything is satisfactual. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay.
Hmm. Was the bird that landed on his shoulder in the video white?
No, it was a bluebird. Believe it or not.
Well, sorry. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. I'm still trying to purge our hatred over here. And I welcome you. Welcome your calls. And I decided to leave radio. Yeah, I'm gonna start my own company.
What are you going to call your new company?
Well, it's going to be a mask company. I'm going to call it Da Mask.
Da Mask?
Yeah. D-U-M-M-M-A-S-K.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Da
and
Mask.
I was thinking if you wanted to go full moron, you have one that actually covers you. All. You remember the old Halloween costume where you could wear one and it's kind of like the Blue Man Group? I mean, it just covers your entire head.
Yeah.
Right? Even all the way down to your feet. You can just go full moron and you can just wear it. But I think that, I think I'm going to do it. Why not capitalize, man?
It'll only sell to about 100 million people.
I was thinking about imprinting sheep all over it. That way, wherever I go, I know that others will flock to it and see me with the sheep, the perpetual sheep all over the mask. That's what I was thinking of anyway.
I like the full body one.
You do?
Because it protects you not only from COVID, uh-huh. but from any waterborne pathogens. You can go swimming in it and not get the crotch itch.
Right.
I mean, it sounds pretty good all the way around.
It does, right? It even solves foot fungi.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
Any STD.
Yeah.
Literally can't have sex.
Yeah,
in it.
Exactly.
I mean, pretty much you would be like a walking sterilization unit. And I was thinking we just go with the whole dumbass mantra yeah. and we just go for it.
Like
Let's
a full body condom.
Yeah. Does anybody want to invest? Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
It's not what you're talking about now, but I got a quick question, Kate.
Sure, sure.
The state school board.
Yes.
Kristen, right?
Kristen or Scott. You know, it's kind of a draw, which is they're
Isn't
both
really?
Not fantastic. They both have issues. They both have pluses. This one is something okay. where I hope people pray about it and try to make the right decision, but it's not like any of the two are going to lead out, be courageous, and say no to all of it. So I have a hard time with the school board choice because when Michelle was running against Scott, it was really clear evidence
yes.
that Michelle needed to be on the board, and she was. But now it's like a toss-up. It's hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
I'm
then
so
for
sorry.
Attorney General?
Attorney General, I would always take the incumbent out, especially when they dodge questions and won't answer anything. And I really believe that that attorney generals need to be changed out often. Yes. And I would probably okay. go with a new name. Now, I know he's attached to Mike Leavitt, and that's very unfortunate. But at the same time, he's not Mike Leavitt. So let's just hope that that maybe we have an ounce of possibility that we won't get the same result we just had with the state.
Okay.
They haven't decreased
okay.
any
Thank
power,
you so much.
Right? They haven't decreased any power. So
yeah,
it's a problem. Thank you. Really appreciate
All right.
it.
Keep our fingers crossed.
All right. Thank you. Hi caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hello. I was wondering uh-huh. who you were thinking for us, the city, for our area, for the school board. But I think you just covered that.
Yeah, I just covered that. And I would definitely vote in Willie and get rid of Brad Last. I think Brad Last has been in way too long, and he's written way too many tax bills for us that stab us in the back. So I really, really, really would encourage people to go Willie over Brad Last.
Especially the education that they're teaching the kids. Half the kids don't even understand what the Founding Fathers were. They think they're enemies
exactly.
and want to destroy them.
Exactly.
The other thing I was saying was this lady in line told me the other day, that she saw the mayor and the chief of police kneel down when they were demonstrating with the people that were demonstrating.
Yeah,
you know,
they're showing their true colors, and the mayor even had a mask. He had a black mask on and then was holding a sign that said white silence equals black death. So very, very, very BLM encouraging. So people should realize that, that they were out showing their true colors, and our chief of police is a disgrace and the mayor is a disgrace. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah.
That's the problem. We always have loved the police department, but we couldn't believe that
he
would do a thing like that.
Well, the police department is not the chief of police. The chief of police had a responsibility to stand up for them. He did not. He's a disgrace. I don't know what to say about him other than he's a total pawn for Black Lives Matters.
Yeah. Well, God bless you. Thank you very much.
You betcha. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
You know, I wrote a little slogan for Brad Last.
Did you? Mm-hmm. What's the slogan?
Let's make this Brad's last term.
I like it. Yes. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
In regards to the subjects you're talking about, uh-huh. I'd like to offer a quote from Mark Twain.
Sure.
Politicians and diapers need to be changed more often.
I totally agree with you.
For the same reason.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes. Yep. They're reeking by now. Yes, yes, yes. I appreciate
that. That's an
that.
Old quote, but it's absolutely true.
Isn't it, though? Thank you so much. Appreciate that. All righty. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. I'm trying to get there. 888-673-1450. By the way, I put out some new information last night on on the evidence from the CDC and the WHO on the fact that we never reached a pandemic level, not even close. In their own words, the cumulative risk to people has to be usually between 12% and 30%. Now, the Department of Homeland Security put it at 30%. They said that 30% needed to be ill, 40% of the workplace needed to be ill in order to be able to call it a pandemic. Now, you tell me that 16,000 people considered serious in this country, it keeps going down, by the way, it's lower, much lower than 2 weeks ago. You tell me that that equals 12 to 30% of our population of 337 million people. Go ahead. Tell me, because I'm listening. And I'm telling you that we never reached pandemic level. We shut down the nation. Do you know how many deaths we had when we literally shut down every single state? 32. Do you know how many cases we had? With CBS saying that 1,000 cases, that they were all sick, which was a lie. Because 99.7% weren't all sick. Well, guess what? We only had 1,000 in the entire nation. They shut down our economy and they shut down the nation in March. And we were never into their 12 to 30 percentile of the nation ill. We've never come close to it. We're not in it now. It's absolutely asinine. I have the documentation to prove it. And guess what? At the level we were at that didn't even make a level, the first level of a pandemic, do you know what they say is not recommended? All of the things we did. Do you know the only recommendation that comes with that is on the lowest level, and we're far below that, is the isolation of an ill person.
Yep.
You're not allowed, not recommended to close schools, not recommended to close a business, not recommended to quarantine, not recommended, not recommended, not recommended. This is all by their own standards from 2006, 2007, and 2013. I am not kidding. It's all there, all the documentation. Go to the Kate Daly Show Facebook page and you can see it for yourself. It's right there. And it also said that they don't have to declare a pandemic based on the severity of an illness. Do you know what they base it on? The political ability for agencies to then put out what they want to put out, not because it's highly contagious, or not because it's severe, or not because it's affecting a lot of people. All doing a pandemic, declaring a pandemic does is scare the hell out of people. And then at the same time, it's just a political vehicle for the agencies to grab money. And they admit it. They admit it. And it's right there. You can just go see it for yourself. I also wanted to say this one more time to you, because this was just so outstanding to me that, and in such a bad way, the 1918 flu. Think about that, 1918. In 1941, there was an article clipping that came out, and it said an estimated 10 million people died. Now, think about this for a second. This was a decade after the flu. They had plenty of time to count up all the numbers from all the counties. The counties all gave them specific numbers of people. They went around and counted the exact dead, but they went ahead and estimated a high number into the 10 million mark. Okay. In 1975, when Ford was president, they doubled the number to 20 million, I think it was. Mike Leavitt came along in 2005 working for the HHS and decided it was 38 million. And now it's 50 to 100 million, and CNN went all in and they just said 100 million. And then they came out and said between 20 and 100 million just to legally cover their rear ends. So you tell me, 100 years later, it went from a high number estimation of 10 million deaths to 100 million deaths because history rewrote the story. And you don't think they're capable of doing this with COVID? Oh my gosh, you guys, we're in such a world of hurt right now. So there's that and there's zippity-doo-dah. And I'm not quite sure where to land today, because this is so insane. But guess what? We have Chris Ann Hall, we have Mike Mahari from the 10th Amendment Center, and we have Duke Pesta today, a triple header for you. I've got Uncle Milty here. And we were just literally just dying over this Disney wokeness. Spencer Cox coming out, and he actually said, you guys, I don't even know how else to put this other than the complete and total lunacy of this. He has a mask on. He's in a field that he apparently thinks he farms when he's off duty from being our lieutenant governor. And you know what it says? I'm going to quote him right here. It says, wear a mask because you care about others more than yourself. Wear a mask because you care about the economy. Wear a mask because you love our state. Wear a mask for freedom. Wear a mask because our church leaders told us to. I don't even know what to say to this.
He didn't say wear a mask because you're ugly?
No, he missed that one. Well, here's my answer. Wear a mask because you're an idiot, citizen. Just wear it. Stop realizing that healthy people have an immune system because somehow, some way, it just stopped working in March for no apparent reason at all. Wear it because we told you so. Wear it because I love the establishment, devote my life to it. Wear it because we want to see if our indoctrination is working, especially in the summer when it's hot and virus is not rampant. Let's just see how dumb you guys really are. Wear it because you love Utah and flowers and America. Wear it because you need a physical manifestation to indicate how many can't put two and two together that people are not randomly dying. Wear it because it's a killer plague, but it's not actually a killer plague. We just say it is. Wear it because there's no reason. Wear it because it actually will make you ill breathing in your own germs all day, but you're just too dumb to know that. Wear it because I wear it. Wear it because even though I'm standing in a field in fresh air, I choose to be a sheeple and teach others to sheeple with me. Wear it because you don't realize that you never wore it for the flu or chemo patients or respiratory illness before, but just for this mysterious killer disease that random people are just dying from. Wear it because I want to be your governor and keep you locked down and destroy your business. Thank you, Spencer Cox. Appreciate you. Anyway, be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
It's talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It's the truth. Mm-hmm. It's actual. Everything is satisfactory.
I'm so confused lately. I don't know whether to be like apologizing for my guilt and purging myself of my hatred or running scared, trying to wear a mask that means nothing. A piece of cloth attached to my face to somehow, some way save a life. I'm trying to decide what's more important. What should my priority be?
I got to tell you, I think the white kids that are tearing down statues from the Civil War era,
right,
even though they make a few mistakes here and there,
right?
I think they've got the right idea.
You do.
So do some important, prominent people.
Yeah. Like the guy that founded Black Entertainment,
Robert
BET.
Johnson.
BET. Yeah. Let's hear what he has to say. I'm sure there's got to be 35 seconds of wisdom from BET. Let's go.
The people who are basically tearing down statues, trying to make a statement, are basically borderline anarchists, the way I look at it. People having fun that they can go out and pull down a statue and have the mistaken assumption that black people are sitting around cheering for them, saying, oh my God, look at these white people. They're doing something so important to us. They're taking down a statue of a Civil War general who fought for the South. In my opinion, black people laugh at white people who do this.
I love it.
Yeah, we have something in common.
Oh,
I laugh at them,
you.
Too.
Thank you, Robert Johnson, for some wisdom. I really do. And that's without sarcasm at all. I love what you just said.
Yep.
Thank you. Yes, they should be laughed at, especially the white people tearing down these statues and monuments.
Virtue signaling.
Oh, yes. And what I love to see is somebody that's all tatted up with purple hair and a big old tank top with their boobs hanging out, that with the Black Lives symbols, you know, the Black Lives symbol, and somebody that shouldn't be wearing a tank top, by the way. but somebody with that Black Lives things with the mask on. And that's like my view now of like the perfect American citizen, right? Isn't it? Doesn't it speak to that?
Did you see the video of the Democratic congressman that got attacked?
No.
Oh, it's amazing.
I need to see that.
It's the girl in the tank top attacking the senator. She weighs about 300 pounds.
Well, I mean, that's the view we get.
But he was a Democratic senator.
Interesting. Okay. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Hi there.
To talk about both of these subjects if we have time. But first of all, political decisions. You were citing those great stats a few minutes ago.
Yes.
Remember when I talked to, this is the director of, his title was Director of Health Promotion, which is probably a PR director. I'm talking about the Southwest Health Department here in the county.
And very misleading.
They tell me he's the only person could answer questions about the law.
Huh.
And when I talked to him, he did not know any law. He could not cite any law at all that mandates that anybody in the county wear a mask.
Right.
And what he said to me was, in this county, if I think I mentioned this to you, in this county, we're not enforcing any laws because it's conservative and the people may not like it.
Mm-hmm.
So their role is to make decisions based on the health needs of the county, if they even have that power, but putting that a point aside. He was saying, we're deciding enforcing this law based on political decisions, what the people will tolerate, not based on need.
I like that. So, I mean, why not just say it? Why not just say, yeah, we're full of crap, we mislead people, but hey, at least we know we're doing it with the social norm. So we're encouraging social norm.
Full of crap is benign. This is actually to help enslave us, because there is nothing more symbolic or tangible symbolism that this thing is real when we know it's not real than people wearing masks. You know, the average weak-minded person, which is most people, they see other people with masks. Oh, they can't all be wrong.
Media
can't be all wrong. The politicians can't be all wrong. So it's really important they have some symbolism or a tangible symbolism that this thing is real when it's
all I have to do is look at a clip of Man on the Street, and I pretty much know they all are screwed. I mean, honestly, we're screwed because we don't have a lot of people that are thinking.
Yeah, this is all about seizing our liberties, and they may run this all the way into a police state just on this one issue. But one thing that's really important, there's all sorts of information they're suppressing about how this is actually killing people. Millions of reported that have died from related to the COVID-19 from starvation across the world, mainly in Africa. And this is all being suppressed.
Right.
In addition, suicide rates are way up. Mental health acting out is way up. And also, there was a study done in Britain, this is over a month and a half ago, that for every person that died from COVID-19, two people died because they withheld medical care, not getting surgeries and things like that.
Oh, by the way, Texas, thank you for that. And we'll pull that study up. Texas is now considering stopping any elective surgeries. Now, a lot is under the label of elective surgery.
Oh, boy.
And you can watch other states fold as well. We'll probably be one of them because our governor likes to follow the establishment. So does our lieutenant governor that's running for governor. They all do. They all do. Romney, all of them. So it'll be interesting to see if we do the same, if we follow Texas right now.
You know, the caller said that the people wear masks because they see other people wearing them and they think they can't all be wrong.
Right.
I knew a guy in the Army. One of his famous sayings, he said it all the time, was, eat dung. A million flies can't be wrong.
Oh, gosh.
So,
can I put that on a t-shirt?
You know, that probably would sell pretty good.
It probably would.
Eat dung, a million flies can't be wrong.
Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Kate, that was a beautiful story yesterday.
Which one? Oh, thank you.
The atheist goes to heaven?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it just was really great.
Thanks.
Yeah, there was a battle in the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
George Washington got 3 bullet holes in his coat.
Yeah.
Well, maybe somebody's hand was protecting him.
I would think. There were so many miracles, God-given miracles during that time. I don't think people really realize what we were up against. And it was far worse than what we're even looking at now.
Military force on Earth.
Yeah, And the miracles that had to happen, the help from the other side. Oh, you bet! I'm on board with that. Oh, of course, there was no other way it could have happened.
They had people trying to kill him.
Yeah,
assassinate him.
Yeah,
and they didn't get it done.
Yep, amen.
Thanks, guys.
Amen, brother. I totally appreciate that. And listen to yesterday's show. I've just pointed out some things from a near-death experience from an atheist that will give you some hope for the fact that we are not alone in this. We really are aided and abetted by unseen forces that are helping to help us in this time. Because right now we're fighting for America and we have to be heard. We just have to be heard. I mean, look at this. When I pulled up the news, it was so shocking to me. And yes, I'm serious. Yesterday I talked about the fact that what are they doing? They're toppling a statue. So we build three of them. So you put them on private property. So you put the sculptors to work. Okay, we can deal with that. So they took off, they delabeled syrup. Well, that's really sad for Nancy Green's family because she was one of the first black millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so you don't see Aunt Jemima's face on syrup anymore. All right, so they're doing all these ridiculous things. Take away Song of the South. Take away, you name it. That's all they have is the asinine. So you know what? We can deal with that. What we really need to deal with is the COVID lies and the New World Order mask that they would like you to wear so that we can actually have a physical manifestation of how gullible you are and who you believe in and what you believe in. Because that's really what it is. I don't even have to talk to people anymore. I just kind of can say, oh, yep, uh-huh, uh-huh, and I got, yep, I know what you're about. That's a really sad state of affairs. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, Kate.
Hi.
I'm from Milty.
Hi.
Just to kind of piggyback off of what you were talking about with the virtue signaling and the idiocy and the genetic cesspool that America has become.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw this clip, but a looter was brilliant enough to Facebook Live herself because she was so outraged that shop owners would actually guard their stores with weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And I will just put a disclaimer out there. If you find it and you view it, it's very profane language. But the irony is that, she's out there looting and saying that cops are terrible, awful. But once she finds out she can't go in and loot these stores, then all of those people who are guarding, they aren't, they're Arabs and they're not American and they're illegal immigrants and they aren't supposed to have guns in this area. And I'm going to go call my cousin who's a cop and I'm going to tattle on them and they're going to come and get these people and take their guns away so that they can't defend the store so I can go loot.
Yeah, amazing.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
The lack of education, the genes that are running rampant in our
society. Gosh. It's frightening.
To create a generation that really and truly does not, they're not able to look at all of this hypocritical nonsense and figure it out.
I know.
It's just mind-boggling.
I'm certainly nervous, and if there's anything that gives me anxiety, it's that. And I just have to know that that we're not in this alone, and that we have help. And whenever you're for truth and right and righteousness and all of the right things, that you will prevail. At some point, that prevails. So I know that, and that kind of keeps me on course because of the lunacy going on right now. And I fear, that I just know that in the past, man, we had totally different forces at work, and now it's just this utter stupidity of people that's the force at work. And I almost think that's almost harder to deal with. I'd rather have an angry mob, to tell you the truth. I've been on this COVID thing. Uncle Milty?
In Tuskegee.
Thank you for the call.
Mm-hmm. In Tuskegee, Alabama. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There was a statue of a man, and his name was George Washington.
Uh-huh.
They tore it down.
Vaguely familiar. Mm-hmm.
But it was George Washington Carver. They forgot about the Carver part of the name. He was the black man that created over 300 products out of peanuts.
Wow.
Black men.
Yep.
His name was George Washington. They tore his statue down.
Well, I'm glad we were saved from that.
Yes.
I mean, my, purging us to
well,
the...
Well, they're
to
brilliant.
The, well,
they I don't mean, let anything get I, by.
I swear to you, it, as crazy it all, as all this is, it just keeps turning it up a notch.
Yep.
And thank you, Disney. Thank you, Disney, for the Song of the South ride that I didn't know was the Song of the South ride. I really appreciate that one. Woo! Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. You got about a minute.
Okay, I'll give you about 15 seconds.
You got it.
Have you heard the latest? People now want to change the name of DSU, Dixie State University, to something else because Dixie is so very racist.
Oh, well. You know, anyway, caller, you know, caller, that the people late. That you speak of are actually the very liberal professors that good old Biff has hired, right? And the mayor approves of. So makes sense.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Typically, it's these professors that can't get a job somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
And they come here. And
right.
Then they want to change everything to be like New York or Boston
right.
or New Jersey or something. There's a lot of good professors at DSU.
Yeah, there are
anyway,
a few.
Just to pass that along mm-hmm. to you. That
Thank
that,
you.
That's going to be a big battle coming up in the next few weeks.
Yes, it will. Dixie Chicks changed their name, so I'm sure we'll follow suit. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. And yes, I will agree that there are a few professors over at Dixie that are great. But I would have to say that the voices we hear from, especially in what the caller just talked about in the changing of the name, those are your very liberal professors. Keep an eye on those people.
The yeah. least expensive way to change the name will be to call it Pixie State University.
Pixie.
But it's just, I'm thinking financially, it would be cheap that way. You just have to change the one letter.
Sorry. Okay.
Well, doesn't that make sense, Kate?
Totally.
I'm trying to save some money here.
Mm-hmm. Pixie State.
That's what we're standing in.
Thanks, Uncle Melty.